Müller House Meeting, Tuesday morning, 8th April 1975. In the House of Life is a door named Death. On the other side of it is bliss. If the door claims you, the self, the separate self, and it undoubtedly will, you will never know that bliss. But if you, unselfed, swing that portal fearlessly with pure hand and heart, you are at one with bliss, and you know immortality. Entering the stillness and the silence, death is seen as the perfecter and the consummator. Seeing this peacefully and fearlessly, I am filled with the wonder of creative renewal. Free of psychological time and the sorrow it holds, timeless eternity is realized in every moving flicker of time as I die wholly to time's beat whilst still alive in the body. In this perfect rhythm is the dance of life, the experiencing of the deathless state. Death is not destruction nor annihilation. Death is the extinction of my illusion of continuity. So I see death is other life, the non-finite non-being, because of which there is no me repeated again. And I see that death, life's immortal and inseparable twin, offers the hospitality of life. That is, incomprehensible, silent containment by the absolute in the unknown and unknowable eternity. Austere? Then remember that for us who live as mortals, there is only the way of love and understanding. Heart speaks to heart noiselessly. Who loves, hears. Who listens, understands. So your tears can be wiped away before they roll down. Even down here in the body, in feebleness, to see and bear and understand the inconsolability of death is to be made deathless by life and realize its benediction. This is love. This is freedom. This is reality. Deep in the womb of the timeless truth lies the certainty that we are not mere pawns of fate, but the bearers of a divine destiny, the destiny to be man, man in the living image of God. It was there before the world was, hidden in the night of sleep till the dawn of awakening. And that golden daybreak glowed with sweet and silent laughter when the still mind spoke its wordless message, promising redemption through enlightenment by wisdom, peace through compassion, freedom through that beauty in which selfness is not. Such is the reality of death. Let death be. Power of transmutation, restorer of union with life abundant, and the flow of this life is the stream of compassion, wisdom, truth, purity, goodness, beauty, virtue. Religion in fulfillment in every moment of daily life and work. Thus it is that death establishes me in my aloneness, even as transcendence is the alone, the life which is the creative pulse. Life never stands static, nor does it move towards a goal. It writes on the edge of the eternal mind and laughingly erases the old word as it writes the new. The eternal mind itself is ever transparent, spacious, silent. Thus death is the sign and the promise of eternal life. Death in every single moment of our conscious existence throws open the gateway to infinite, to the infinite. Here, as a limited being, if I die completely to the immediate moment, in that moment of death, I am totally open to the infinite non-being, the origin, the mysterious, dark, unknown and unknowable origin, out of which I, the being, am expressed. And this is something which happens in my moment-to-moment consciousness. The key is simply this: in total and perfect attentiveness to the immediate moment, the now, and everything that is happening to me now, I work out, or rather, the totality of that which has to be worked out in the moment is worked out in consciousness. And in that working out, the transmutation of this old moment, this dying moment, takes place. And if I do not grasp at the dying moment, hold nothing back for me as a separate self, then in the deeps of consciousness, I am at one with the eternal non-being. And that pulse of life brings into consciousness the immediate now, what we would in our ordinary language call the next now. But there is no next in reality. It is the transmutation. It is this creative pulse at work. And therefore, through this living body, this pulse of being, non-being, life and death, as people would ordinarily call it, but which I always prefer to call other life, takes place. And in this creative pulse is completely unselfed, totally selfless living. Which means that I, the separate person, am truly self-responsible. Self-responsible not to me, the separate individual self, but to the one and only total self, to eternal God. And you see, in the fulfillment of that self-responsibility, you and I completely live the great teaching, thy will, not mine. As we would say in India, the liberated Holy One lives as Brahman, the ultimate real, unto Brahman, for Brahman, through Brahman, in Brahman. So you see what immortality means. It is here now, and the key is that the consciousness of me, the separate individual being living on earth, will be so completely attend to the immediate moment that I shall die wholly to the immediate moment, the instant that the immediate moment has worked itself out. Keep nothing back. And in keeping nothing back, transcendence functions freely through the living being. Now, this total attentiveness which enables one to live like that. This is the great key. If I grasp at anything, desire anything for myself, try to take something out of the world and keep it unto me, then I am in the sinful state, separated from the unity of the whole, and in that sinful state I cannot be totally attentive. Therefore you see, not only the spiritual and moral necessity, but the logical necessity for total unselfishness. And this is supremely important. Once we can begin to live in that way, then all the problems that inevitably come up in the process of everyday world affairs are no longer my problems. They are not approached by me as a separate self. So long as I approach my moment-to-moment life as a separate self, I shall always be in the situation of conflict, of difficulty, and above all, of making mistakes continually. Because how can I, the finite being, have the wisdom of the infinite if I am going to regard myself as separate from the totality? So you see, we get an understanding, we begin to get an understanding of the true meaning of being practical at the fully human level, not at the subhuman level. This is practicality. And then all the problems that come up are understood and dealt with in the light of the infinite, in the light of transcendence, in the light of pure wisdom, and not in our confused, dark, and sorrowful way. Now we must be quite clear that this does not mean that the dualistic experiencing of pleasure, pain, sorrow, joy will not enter our life. Of course it will. The circumstance will be of that nature, as interpreted by worldly consciousness. But if my consciousness is free of the bondage of worldliness, although the circumstance physically may be painful to me, it is not painful in terms of the freed consciousness, the liberated consciousness. A physical pain may be there, but my response to that will not be the response I make in my worldly state. Similarly, the physical joy may be there. Look at this beautiful day that we have here. What joy it is to look out upon the mountains and the clear sky. The experience of joy will be there, but I will not go through it as with a worldly consciousness, experiencing mere sensational delight. The sensational delight, of course, is there, but it is only the instrument of communication between the beauty of the transcendent through my eyes looking at itself. And that is something totally beyond all sensational joy. If we understand this, then once and for all, we naturally give up the pursuit of mere pleasure, which is one of the supreme bondages from which mankind suffers. So now, this dying to the immediate moment, grasping at nothing. Now I suggest that this morning we may try to carry out a little meditation along these lines. Remember Jesus' words, "What shall it avail a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul?" Put in beautiful terms, what shall it avail a man? Nothing at all. But if the world, the substance of the world, in small measure or great measure, is his, and he lives as a trustee for it, not grasping it, not bound to it, but letting it flow through him and letting it be utilized by him in the right way, then he is free. now. Let the body be at ease, first of all. Free of all stresses and strains, right throughout, so that it feels almost as if the body were wholly transparent, made of light. And similarly, let the mind be at ease. If the mind is at ease, then the I, E-Y-E-I, with which one sees things, the I is single. In that singleness, it perceives the truth of things. Perceiving the truth of all things, that all that is manifest to us through the senses is insubstantial in nature, always transforming, always fading away. Through the portal of death into the infinite, pulsing back again through that same portal the other way round, and becoming things. Now just let the mind dwell upon that and feel at one with this pulse. For convenience, we'll use the word death and call it the life-death pulse. And let the rhythm of the breath be quiet and well established, for that is your own individual life rhythm. Now, with the mind at peace and the whole organism poised, thrilling with your own life rhythm, let the mind select any particular situation or circumstance, or whatever it may be, which is an object of concern or difficulty. Here and now, in our ordinary everyday life, it may be something material, it may be something psychological, or metaphysical, or whatever it may be. Just let the mind select that and look at it with total attention in silence. Look at the situation without grasping without desire, without looking for results. Nothing can bring better results than the free action of transcendence itself. Therefore, let the mind see the whole situation together with any persons who may be involved in it as being quite peaceful, especially oneself, quite peaceful. Quite free of personal desire, see everyone and everything as permeated by real intelligence. Let the heart be open to the heart, each mind to all the other minds. And oneself remain perfectly poised, non-attached, wholly compassionate. In the compassionate state, right understanding and pure wisdom can work. Remember the words of Sri Krishna. Thy business, O disciple, is with the action only, not with the results. Leave the results unto me, said Krishna. It is always transcendence, it is always the totality which reaps the fruit of what you or I do. So let the mind dwell quietly upon this situation or problem in the spirit of dedication, with oneself wholly compassionate, and await the action of transcendence. Now try and hold that in attention. Be totally attentive to this. Hold that in attention for a couple of minutes or so.
And then if the springs of compassion arise from the depths of the heart spontaneously, let the whole situation, all the people involved, and oneself be filled with that compassion. Let that stream of compassion radiate out all through this valley of beauty, in which is embodied the spirit, the influence of Johannes Müller. So that all who come here and live here for a shorter or a longer time are strengthened in spirit and freed in their innermost souls.